We've been in the Book of Psalms. Sermon series is Summer in the Psalms. And hopefully you guys have been enjoying this up to this point. We just been taking the Psalms every week and just looking at it and see what God has for us. And so today we will do the same. And the title of this one is Get Your Praise Up. All right, so turn to your neighbor and say, Get Your Praise Up. Get Your Praise Up. All right, so we're in the book of Psalms 149, verse 1 through 7. Psalms 149, 1 through 7. It says, Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, Praise the Lord. All right, so what is praise? And so praise is declaring the goodness of God, right? Praise is making known, making him famous, saying, God, you are so good to me. God, you have done such incredible things in my life. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I praise you because you have delivered me. It's singing songs of God. It's making known his greatness in the earth. While worship, you know, so praise requires you to do one thing, open up your mouth. So whenever you're thinking of the goodness of God, when you're thinking of all that he has done for you, you open your mouth and you begin to declare the praises of God. So maybe you've never been in a church where we sing, but that's the reason we sing, and that's the reason we open our mouths, is because God is good. And so the Psalms instruct us to praise the Lord. Now, worship is a little different. Praise, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So as you begin to praise, as you begin to lift him up, his presence begins to come in this place. Now, worship is basically your response to his presence. Sometimes worship, in those moments of worship, we just need to shut our mouths, right? And we just need to think of how good God is and just worship in those moments. Be reverent in those times of worship. And so the next question I have for you guys is, who do we praise? And so David makes it very clear in the Psalms. He says, praise the Lord. Now, whether you realize it or not, we sing praises of people. We sing praises of things all the time. So, for instance, if there's a ball player who had a really good game, right? He had some amazing stats. Man, you begin to talk to your friends. Man, did you see that guy? Man, he just went off, right? It was just incredible, right? We begin to sing the praises of these athletes and these different people. Or what about a movie, a new movie that came out, and there was a memorable scene in that movie. And so you're telling your friends, hey, did you see that movie? Man, you got to see this movie, right? It is so good. Right, and so you sing the praises of this movie, or what about for me it's vehicles. You know, if a new vehicle comes out, you know, I've seen the commercial with the GMC truck and the little tailgate falls down and the little ladder comes out. I'm like, man, did you see that? That's pretty awesome, right? And so I'm singing the praises right now as I'm telling you guys about this truck, right? And so for me it's technology, for you it might be a movie, it might be something else, but we sing praises all the time. So what David is saying is, look, take that praise and turn it towards God. You know, take that praise and turn it towards God. Certainly you have something in this room to praise God for. Amen. Certainly you could think of at least one thing to begin to praise the name of the Lord. How many of you in this place would say, yeah, I have at least one thing to praise God for? So that's most of us. The rest of us, you'll catch up later, hopefully. But if I was to ask the question, how many of you this morning have something to complain about? Nobody? Wow, nobody has, wow, man. Nobody has anything to complain about. Y'all are awesome. If everybody were honest in this church, we would all say, yes, I have something to complain about, right? Now I'm turning the question. Are you going to choose to complain, or are you going to choose to praise? So you might have something to complain about this morning. You might have reason to complain about, but instead of complaining, you know what you're going to do? You're going to turn that complaint into a song of praise. Amen? So how do we praise? And so if we continue in this verse, it says, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. And some of you men are like, man, I don't sing. That's not me. I don't sing. But the Lord, the scriptures instruct us, sing to the Lord a new song. You know, my little girl, Mylin, She sings new songs all the time. She has grasped this idea of singing a new song. Sometimes the songs are silly, like I want to jump and I want to do everything and I want to bounce and I want to go crazy. Or other times it's a little bit more thoughtful, and she actually says songs about God. I believe that God will use that songwriting ability in that little girl's life. But she has grasped the idea of singing a new song. Now, a new song comes from a new revelation, right? And so in her little mind, the revelation is, I like to jump. And so that's the revelation that I'm experiencing right now. I just like to jump, so I'm going to write a song about jumping. However, there are other songs that inspire us because of a revelation about who God is. And so in 2001, you may have heard of the artist Jeremy Kemp. This was a while back. And so he writes a song about his wife, to God, after he had lost his wife to ovarian cancer. And the words of this song says, I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your holy word. I still believe in your truth. Even when I cannot see, I still believe. This was a song that was written because he had a new revelation of God's faithfulness, that God's faithfulness would be enough to get him through the difficult situation, that God's faithfulness and his holy word will endure, and he would hold on to that, and that would be enough to get him through the loss of his wife. So that was in 2001. 2007, many guys know that I experienced a divorce in my life. And I remember going to work one day, and I was listening to this song, I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your holy word. I still believe in your truth. And it was this song that just gave me enough faith to believe that God's going to get me through this, that his faithfulness and that his holy word is going to endure and is going to get me through this difficult season in my life. It was a new song that Jeremy Kemp sung in 2001, but it was a new song to me in 2007 because I had a new revelation of God's faithfulness during that season. And perhaps you've experienced some deep hurt in your life and some deep pain in your life. I want you to know today that you too can sing a new song, because you can realize that God is for you. He is not against you, that he is with you and he will never forsake you, that he's going to see you through the moments that you're in right now. It's only but a season. His faithfulness will endure. His holy word will endure. So therefore, you can sing a new song of praise to the Lord, because he is faithful and just, and he will not let you fall. We are to sing a new song to the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that we are to get rid of the old songs. In fact, we brought back an old song this morning on purpose. Why? Because it talked about the goodness of God. It talked about giving God praise. So even those old songs that we've sung in the past can bring about a new revelation. So that's why we sing. We sing unto the Lord. It's an act of praise, that we are to praise the Lord as the Psalms instructs. So our songs should be unto the Lord. And so we talked about, you know, turning our complaints. And so I have a little line for you guys that if you can remember, it might help you out. Maybe you have many reasons this morning to complain, but instead that you would turn those complaints into praise. For every complaint that you exhale, let there be a new song that prevails. For every complaint that you exhale, let there be a new song that prevails. And as I was thinking about this week, and I tried to capture all those moments that I complain, and I was like, man, I complain a lot, you know, because I'm trying to turn my complaints into songs of praise. I'm like, man, I'm doing a lot of complaining, so I need to do a lot of praising, amen. And so I need to turn those complaints into songs of praise. And sometimes it's not easy to do it, right? I mean, even this morning, we're having technical difficulties coming back from a storm, and I'm just getting frustrated, man. But the enemy would love to do that. Even in church, he would love to steal your praise. He would love to steal your praise, and so that you're not praising God anymore. That you're focusing on the situation, you're focusing on the circumstance. He would love to just rob you of your praise. But how many of you guys know that we need to rise up above that and begin to declare the praises of God and do as the psalmist say and praise the Lord? Amen. Now, It says that we are to praise him in the assembly of the godly. So it's important that you have in your quiet time with the Lord, that you have those moments where you praise the Lord. And those are sweet and those are rewarding. But it is even more sweet and even more grander whenever we as the church come together in unison and begin to praise or lift up the name of the Lord our God. There is a heightened level of his presence that inhabits his people. So that's why we come together. That's why we come together in a corporate setting to offer God praise. Now, we don't come to be entertained by music. You know, we don't come just to listen to the band. You know, you could go to a concert for that. Concerts are all about man's abilities. Concerts are all about exalting man. Wow, look at that musician. Look at that singer. Wow, they're really awesome. This church service is not about that. It's not about the band at all. In fact, it's about God. You know, it has nothing to do with us that are on stage. It's all about him. It's all about giving him praise. It's not about our abilities. You know, the only reason we use instruments is to give God the highest praise, the utmost praise that we can possibly give him. And that is through song, and that is through music. Much different than going to a concert. And so in verse 2 it says, let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. Now, it's interesting because as we was going to El Salvador this past week, I'm thinking, God, you know what? I can't dance. You know, if you guys were here Wednesday, you can attest to the fact that I can't dance, right? I try. I give it my best, but I cannot dance. It's not the gifting that God has given me. But nonetheless, it says in the book of Psalms, it says, be glad and rejoice with dancing, right? Make melody to him with tambourines and lyres. And so we learn that praise can be accompanied with musical instruments. It doesn't have to be. You can praise in the quiet of your own home. But it says it can be accompanied with with musical instruments and with tambourines and with dancing and with shouting and all these things. So you get this feeling that praise is exuberant. It's filled with joy. It's something that is commanded to all believers, that we were to be exuberant about the things of God. Now, as believers, as Christians, we have all the more reason to dance. We have all the more reason to sing, all the more reason to have joy than the world does. Because the world, they can celebrate a situational joy. Meaning, if there's a birthday, they can get excited. If there's a wedding, then you might see some dancing. If there's a raise or a promotion, then maybe there's a little excitement. But it doesn't last. But as believers, we have a joy that fills our heart because the Lord is abiding there, so we can have continual joy day in and day out. Whether things are going good or things are going bad, we can have a continual joy, so therefore we should have continual praise upon our lips. Amen? And so, why do we praise? Why do we praise? So up to this point, the Israelites, to whom this psalm was written about, they had many reasons to praise the Lord, right? For one, God had delivered them out of Egypt, and they were in slavery to the Egyptians. They were under brutal taskmasters. They were enslaved, and God had set them free. So this was one reason. Now, the name Israel is mentioned in this psalm. And if you remember, Jacob had his name changed. At first, he was Jacob. But that name Jacob, it went along with deceit. So whenever you talked about Jacob, you talked about how he deceived his brother, and he deceived his father, right? But now we're talking about Israel. Israel indicates a new name. And with a new name, a new person that was rising up, or a new renewed covenant. So therefore, the Israelites had great reason to rejoice, to remember the name Israel, to remember what God had done for them, to remember that God, yes, you might have had a past of regret and a past of mistakes. You might have been deceitful just as Jacob was deceitful, but the Lord has given you a new name. And as Christians, as believers in Christ, he has given us a new name. We bear the name Christian, or to be Christ-like. You might have had a past just like Jacob, full of deceit and full of sin, but yet he's wiped that away. He said, look, if you repent, then I will wipe your slate clean and I will give you a new name. Thus the reason we have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to praise God. Amen. How many of you would say that you're the redeemed of the Lord? That you are saved? Amen. Then you have a reason this morning to praise Him. Amen. We've got two amens, three amens. We'll go with that. There's a reason to sing. There's a reason to celebrate. Let's see, I read all this. So the encouragement is to not only praise the Lord when He demonstrates His mighty power, but to have a lifestyle of praise. Amen. So in verse 4, it says this: "For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation." So if you didn't have enough reason thus far, because he's set you free, He has cleaned you from sin, He has purged your life, He has given you a new name, if that's not enough reason to get excited about and to praise the name of the Lord, it says that the Lord delights in the praises of His people. Now, as a father, I can understand this. You know, there are times when I'm just playing with my kids. You know, we were just swimming the other day, Friday, and just I was throwing them in the air, and just, man, they were just falling, and they're just having a good old time, but they were content just being with their dad. You know, they were content just being just hanging out with me. And as I'm throwing them in the air, as I'm playing with them, you can see that they were filled with joy. And that joy that they experienced in their life, I experienced. Whenever I seen their smile and that they were having fun, it brought a great joy to me as well. And so that's what the psalm is saying. It's like, as you begin to delight yourself and take joy and praise the Lord God, that our Father takes delight in your praises, that He is delighted to hear your praises. Now, some people have a misconstrued view of our Heavenly Father. I talk about a Father who is loving and who delights in the praises of His people, and it seems like such a foreign concept. Because maybe not all of us in this room have had loving fathers. Maybe not all of us have had fathers who rejoice whenever we're rejoicing. But I want you to know that our Heavenly Father is a much better father than our earthly fathers can ever be. Amen? And even though I take joy and delight in my kids, that God takes an even greater joy and delight in His children whenever they begin to praise Him, whenever they begin to lift up His name, that God takes joy and delight in that. He is our delight. And I would encourage you, maybe if you're in this place and you have not had a healthy view of a Heavenly Father, that you would allow God to heal you this morning. That you will allow God to heal that brokenness, and that He would show you what it's like to experience His love. And He would show you an authentic love this morning. So I pray that would be in the back of your minds as we continue. Verse 5 says, "Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands." So the last question is, when do we praise? We've already talked about that we can have those moments of individual praise in our quiet time, that we can have moments of praise whenever we come together. David gives us a little bit more instruction. He says, look, you can praise whenever you are on your bed, whether that's a bed of sickness or whether that's a bed of just weariness, whether that's a bed of just in a lonely season, that you can begin to offer God praise. Instead of complaining, yes, you got a lot to complain about, but instead turn that complaint into a song of praise. That even whenever you're lying down, even whenever no one else sees, that praise of God would be upon your lips. And then the other position that he talks about is a position of war. Now, I want you to know that as a Christian, as a believer, from the moment that you wake up in the morning, that you are in a spiritual war. And so you're on your job, right? And you're surrounded by people who do not love God. It is a spiritual war. And so in all moments that you're awake, you're in this readiness. You're to put on the armor of God because you are in a spiritual war. So the psalmist is saying, hey, look, not only whenever you are lying down in your bed, but also throughout your day, throughout those spiritual battles, that you ought to put on praise, that you ought to praise the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go around singing the whole time. You know, people might look at you a little weird, you know, if you just start singing. But, I mean, every opportunity that you have, that you would just begin to praise the name of the Lord. So, how many of you guys take a bathroom break? right? At work, right? You go to work, you take a bathroom break. You might be asking, what in the world has that to do with praise? That is the perfect opportunity to begin to praise the Lord. Like, why are you on the John? Why are you saying, God, I just praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I begin to praise you. I begin to lift up your name. Or while you're driving on the way to work, right? So maybe you commute and you have about a 30-minute, 45-minute drive. Hey, that's an excellent time to begin to praise the name of the Lord. Hey, look, you ain't got to be ashamed. God made you. I know you're still stuck on the toilet thing. God made you. God knows what you look like, but you can begin to praise him in the highest place. You begin to praise him in those secret places that as often as you think about his goodness, that you sing a new song of praise. Amen. So we talked about how we were in this spiritual war, and we're not fighting against one another, but we're fighting a real enemy. So here's the thing. Whenever you begin to pick up that praise, your praise is like a weapon. Your praise lets the devil know that I'm still here, that I ain't going anywhere. Yes, I might be facing some difficult situations right now, but I'm going to praise. I'm going to lift up the name of the Lord my God, and I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going to conquer, because Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. And so as believers in Christ, we already have the victory. But the enemy is after your praise, because he knows your praise is a weapon. He knows if he can just stop me, if he can just get me thinking about all the technology, all the things that are going wrong in the service, that I cannot think about praise and I cannot praise him right. And so, yes, there will be assignments that will try to hinder your praise. But you need to persevere. You need to push through that and begin to give God the highest praise in your life today. We are victorious. Your praise is a weapon. The devil cannot steal your praise. You cannot let him steal your praise. Verse 7 says, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgments written. So part of Israel, the children of Israel, part of their responsibility was to execute judgment upon all the nations that God was leading them to. And so they were to take them out. Why? Because they were worshiping these false gods, these false idols. And so God wanted to purge the land. So Israel was like a tool to purge these people who were committing such evil things. And it says that their kings were bound with chains, and their nobles were bound with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. So an even greater reason to celebrate this morning, or to praise this morning, if we think in Revelation chapter 20, we begin to think of our spiritual enemy, Satan, our adversary, the devil, that there is coming a day that he will be bound, and that he will be thrown into the bottomless pit, and he won't be able to deceive anymore. He won't be able to hurt anymore. He won't be able to cause pain anymore on this earth, that he's going to be defeated. What more reason do we have to praise the name of our God? Amen? So this morning, the call is to praise. Whether you're going through a good time, that you are to praise. Whether you're laying down on your bed, you are to praise. Whether you're engaged in war, that you are to praise. Whether you're by yourself at your house, you ought to praise. In the congregation of others, you ought to praise. Turn your complaints into a song of praise. I challenge you this week that every time that you begin to complain about something, that you would be reminded of this sermon, and you'll be reminded to turn your complaints into a song of praise. We're gonna crank up the band again, and we're gonna give you an opportunity to praise the name of the Lord. You have a lot to praise him for this morning. You have a lot to give God praise for. And so today, we want you to open up your mouths. We want you to declare the praises of God. We will praise him with song. We will praise him with instruments. If you want to dance and cut a rug, hey, cut it up, you know, cut it up. If you want to dance, dance. But we're going to offer God the highest praise that we possibly can, because he is worthy of praise. He is worthy of all that we give him. He is worthy. Amen. So we're going to sing this song one more time, and we encourage you to praise the name of the Lord.
ready to worship the Lord? Who's ready to give him praise? Let's honor him. Amen.
So make sure you go and grab some things from the thrift store that's right behind our church, right here. And we'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30. Also, those 5 youth spots are available if you need them.